Join me in Ruth chapter 3. I have been anxious to get back here and get back to our study and this particular portion of Ruth. If you'll notice in your bulletin, just two verses that I want to bring to your attention here, and the title, Under the Care of the Goel. And notice Goel is in italics. I believe what we have here before us is something I would term as the centerpiece, the center verse, the verse of which encompasses the meaning of the book of Ruth. Verse 9, if you would look with me there, of chapter 3. And again, I'll just remind you briefly of the setting. Ruth has gone to Boaz at his job. He has finished the work of threshing, of putting away and bringing to bear the harvest of the crop. He has laid down to rest for the evening. And as is the custom of this day, a very unusual act, but a custom of this day was for her to go and lie down beside him, uncovering his feet, which in this day was seen as a marriage proposal. And so we are at that place late in the evening, possibly early morning, still dark, and we are at this place of where Ruth is lying in a very submissive role at the feet of Boaz. And he is somewhat startled, and we read it, verse 9. He asks, "Who are you?" "I am your servant," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." And if you move to verse 11, "And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask." I pray the Lord's blessing on the reading of his word and our understanding. Please note the difference in how Ruth is acknowledging herself to Boaz in this place as compared to her first meeting with Boaz in chapter 2. If you look earlier in chapter 2 at verse 10, Ruth refers to herself as a foreigner, which of course she is, a young lady from Moab. But in the relationship between her and Boaz in this early encounter, she realizes she is nothing more than a foreigner before him. But note the difference here in chapter 3. She now refers to herself as a servant. It could also be translated as handmaiden, a very close relationship in this context, but she has moved from that place of outside his family, outside his care as being a foreigner, and acknowledging herself to now be under and within and inside his particular care. This verse, "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." The corner of your garment, the garment being spread over in a very physical way, has great symbolic, great meaning. This week, I want to look at this meaning in a very spiritual context. Next week, as we move from 3 over into 4, we will see this context of kinsman redeemer in a very legal context. A very legal sort of way. So today, the spiritual side of this kinsman redeemer. The word in the Hebrew is goel. It would have been a word that had great meaning for these of this day. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are my goel." I don't typically do a lot of language work here with you, but this word just has an incredible meaning to the people, to the day, to the people of this day. If they had heard the word goel, then that is a very pregnant term, very full term, having great meaning. And I want to show you a couple of passages to help bring this meaning to bear. And then I want to close it out by going to Psalm 91 and showing that Jesus Christ is our goel. "Spread the garment, the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." What does that mean? to spread a garment over. What is the symbolic meaning behind that? Go with me, if you will, to 1 Kings chapter 19, about three books to your right. 1 Kings 19, verse 19. A very familiar story to many of you, I'm sure. It is the story of Elijah and the calling of Elisha. Elijah, the Old Testament prophet of great, great importance, is calling the young prophet to be Elisha. And we begin reading at verse 19 of chapter 19. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." "Go back," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. This act of throwing the garment over Elisha was an act of ownership. Ownership, that the person receiving the cloak becomes the property of that one to whom the cloak was given from. Now, please understand, this idea of property and ownership is not like we would use the word today. I own a vehicle, I own a camper, I used to own a motorcycle, but not any longer. It is not that idea of property as we would hold title to something. But it is the idea of property, of having ownership, of caretaking, responsibility, of nurturing, of loving and raising as if they were our very own being and self. Elijah is now taking on the responsibility of teaching, caring for, providing, nurturing, meeting every need that Elisha will need as he grows to become the prophet that replaces Elijah. It says here that Elisha set out and followed Elijah and became his attendant. That's almost too light, because he became much more than his attendant. He became that understudy that was the responsibility and property of Elijah, because he came and threw his cloak over him and took responsibility for him. That's what Boaz is doing to Ruth. That is the request Ruth has made to Boaz. "Throw your garment over me, because I am now submitting to you fully and completely. And I am under your care." Let's go a little further. If you would, turn with me to Ezekiel. Now, I will warn you that this reading in Ezekiel is a bit gruesome. But it has great, great meaning, both in its context and the Old Testament setting, but also to us today. Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16, and I'll begin reading at the beginning of the chapter through verse 8. Ezekiel 16:1. If you have a Bible that has a subtitle, some of you may see an allegory of unfaithful Jerusalem. Here's the word of the Lord. "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, confront Jerusalem with her detestable practices and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says to Jerusalem. Your ancestry and birth were in the land of the Canaanites. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. On the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to make you clean, nor were you rubbed with salt or wrapped in cloths. No one looked on you with pity or had compassion enough to do any of these things for you. Rather, you were thrown out into the open field For on the day you were born, you were despised. I will pause there. A very gruesome picture. But please understand where Israel was, the people of Israel, here specifically Jerusalem. But please realize where the nation of Israel was before God called them to be his people. They were nothing. Deuteronomy 7 calls them the smallest of people, the lowest of low, the ugliest of people. They had nothing to give them a claim. Here, God, through Ezekiel, is saying, you were like a child, born and uncared for and thrown out into the field to perish. Which, by the way, was a very popular custom in this day. A father had the privilege, responsibility of when a child was born to take the child in his hands, and he would either pray and hold him up to God and name him, giving that child position, or if that was an unwanted child, he would simply walk out into the field, toss it into the field, and leave it. Abandonment is what it is referred to. So this is a common practice in these days. Also, a lot of non-Jewish children became Christian because of this practice, because the Christians later would hide in the trees, and when the children were abandoned, they'd go get them. God works wonderfully. But here is this ugly picture of an individual laying. And it gets a little worse. Verse 6. Then I, remember this is God speaking through Ezekiel to the people. Then I passed by and saw you kicking about in your blood. And as you lay there in your blood, I said to you, live. I made you grow like a plant of the field. You grew up and developed and became the most beautiful of jewels. Your breasts were formed and your hair grew. You who were naked and bare. What did God do for Israel when he called them his people? He said to them, live. He made them into a people. Reading on. Later I passed by, and when I looked at you and saw that you were old enough for love, I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your nakedness. I gave you my solemn oath and entered into a covenant with you, declares the sovereign Lord. Now here's the strong words I would like to have seen in 1 Kings, but here we see it, and you became mine. What did God do for Israel? Made them his people. He said to them, live. Not just live in this earthly temple, not just live in this earthly way, but to live eternally. Folks, this analogy fits not only the nation of Israel, here specifically the city people of Jerusalem, but this fits me. This was me. This was you. You were like a child. I was like a child, born into sin. Now, my mom loved me and took care of me as your mom and your parents and grandparents, but it is as though I were that small babe lying in my own blood, out wiggling, searching in a field, and nothing. I had no capacity. I had no ability. I had no means in my sin. But it was not until Jesus Christ or God came to me and said, live, and redeemed me through the work of Jesus Christ. This is me. This is you. And just as he began to do the work, this is a young lady he's speaking of, by the way, I'm sure you got the inference there, but just as this young lady began to mature after he said, live, this is us. He has spread his garment over this young lady and made her his. He has spread his garment over us and made us his. And we only have life in the words of a living God. Live. Live. This is what Ruth is asking for from Boaz. Remember, Ruth is a foreigner. She has no means. She has no ability. She is completely deprived of any standing. Her husband is dead, buried in a foreign land. She goes out and gleans the field because God has given that provision for them in this community. But she has nothing. And she's asking Boaz, I can only live if you redeem me. And what does he say in verse 11? I will do as you ask. That's what Jesus Christ has done for us. We are Ruth. We are this naked babe lying in the field in our blood. We have no means, no ability, nothing to our acclaim until God says to us, live. And he makes us his by throwing his garment, his love, his care, his provision over us, and we become Elijah to Elijah. We become this young lady to her master. We become Ruth under the care of Boaz. We become the servant under the living God. Continuing to speak of this spiritually, go with me to Psalm 91. In just a few moments, we're going to sing a Bible song we actually sang 2 weeks ago, and I intended to sing it twice in this context. It's one you know well, Under His Wings. As Dr. Earle will quickly tell you, as he describes the Bible songs, it comes from Psalm 91. And as we read this psalm, you will hear that tune in your ear as we go through this. But now, in the context of which I've placed you, under the care of the Goel, under the care of the kinsman redeemer, we who were naked in our filth have now been redeemed by a living and loving God, and he has said to us, live. This is who we are and what we need from our Goel. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. That is us as believers, under the care of the Goel, under the care of the Redeemer, under the care of God Almighty, as we have been redeemed through Jesus Christ. Spread your garment over me, Lord, because I am a foreigner. I am naked and without. Now, you read down through this, and there is great protection. Now, as we look at this from a New Testament perspective, looking back on it in its Old Testament context, we know that we will find hard times in our day. You know, this psalm promises protection. And I wish I could say that we would be protected from all physical harm. But our Lord Jesus tells us there will be hard days. So we cannot take this to that extreme of saying, well, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Life is good. Why is it so hard? No, hardships will come. But notice where we go at the end of this psalm. It points to an eternal salvation. Move with me down to verse 14 and also notice the change from the author. And this point, up to this point, he'd been speaking in the second person. Here in verse 14, it changes to first person. This is God speaking directly to us. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him. And here's the eternal aspect, and show him my salvation. Under the care of the Goel, we have eternal salvation because our kinsman redeemer. You know, we ask, why did Jesus have to come and die? Why did Jesus have to come and be born into our lineage? Why did he have to come in a physical way? Because you can only be redeemed by a kinsman redeemer. No one else can do it. It has to be of your heritage, of your family. So Jesus coming, and as he said, upholding and fulfilling the entire law, by Jesus coming in his incarnation physically, he is fulfilling the law of kinsman redeemer. He is the Goel for his people. And this promises to you that he will indeed show you his salvation. Those of you who have called on the name of Jesus Christ, this is an assurity to you. You are the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has ownership and title, if you will, over you as a member of his church. But again, this is not like holding title to a vehicle. This is love and care and nurture and compassion. I ask all of you here today, all of us under the sound of my voice, are you indeed under the care of the Goel? Do you know Jesus Christ as Lord? Have you bended the knee to him and say, I accept you as Lord Jesus Christ? Since you are a kinsman redeemer, spread your garment over me so that I might be yours. One of the great sadnesses I would have would be on that day of our glorification, when the whole church is gathered together there before the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think, and there might be one of you not there. I don't know your heart. You don't know mine. Only you know that before God. But the only way we can have the care of the Goel is to accept him as our kinsman redeemer, to call on him and submit to him and say, spread your garment over me and I will become yours.